It's August 20th, the second day of the UN conference. It's 10:30, and we are discussing monitoring Tomcat web apps and web apps in general, and detect memory and related stuff.
Yeah, and who takes notes?
Any objections?
Okay, so here then.
The reason I proposed the mine is because we do web apps on Tomcat, and we had some memory leak issues there, especially with the hot pre-deployment, and so that was one thing. The second thing was what tools everybody uses for web app testing, and the third one is
monitoring your application in general, not only memory and JVM related, but application specific things.
Okay. I guess the easiest to start is testing. From our experience, it's obviously Java web apps on Tomcat, and the main framework from looking around, I know Jan's also had a look around a couple of months ago to maybe less. To look for other tools. We use Selenium. Does anybody else use it? Yeah.
It's very bad framework,
Bad
framework because you need to install Linux with some different browsing slashes, and sometimes on development machine it's not quite good because, for example, we use another one tool named HTML Unit, which emulate some browser, and in most part of test it's enough for you to emulate some browser versus to have grid with different browser versions and to maintain the grid each time.
Mm-hmm. So did you find this around you easier, better than
for us? Yes. We use Selenium only as continuing iteration patterns, not each time for building our new builds and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody use anything else?
We use Zenmeter for testing some and simulating some load on the web server.
Uh-huh.
We also use Apache Benchmark AB. For generating some traffic and seeing how the system behaves, we will usually plug a profile directly to the Tomcat and or whatever other servers the application is running on, and monitoring what's happening and taking snapshots. Especially for memory leaks, it's a good idea to have the JVM flags for the redump. Get an out of memory. Doesn't always help. There are some strange issues always. But the first thing to do is try to load the application and see how it behaves.
Yeah, definitely. The issue we were having is basically, I don't know if everybody is familiar with how the web app translators work in Tomcat, so this is the...
Now this is only an issue for a very long time. So
if
you are making your deployments, we had a continuous integration environment some time ago, maybe 3 years ago, we found this common problem.
Yeah.
I was just looking for workarounds for this.
So the two main solutions that I have come across is either to build a cluster so you can restart server by server and you get around the
it was the most simple solution for us.
You can never dance, I guess.
You can also use just some testing to glucose aquarium. This is more for enterprise service, but this tool also supports Tomcat as built-in server. And this tool by itself maintain of running system card, stopping, redeploying, and you don't need to do this by itself.
What is doing this?
GBOS Aquila.
But it's very new framework and very unstable.
Yeah.
You have to know about it.
But do you use strip down version of Tomcat?
No, just
don't you even remove the manager app?
No. All that's removed in production, but it's. We don't do anything.
Okay. Because we try to remove everything that's not necessary. The demos and all the stuff, the bundles, Tomcat. And how do you monitor the JVM status during runtime?
We don't do it dynamically. We don't have a process for doing it. We found through testing that the application is stable over time, and yes, we do it when the program arrives.
Do you have a big screen with a red light?
For a couple of projects, we did have sort of we did use monitoring tools that when you would sort of try to hit a page and just to check the start, but check if it's working, but it doesn't really do it. So it's, I guess it's interesting to hear what you
know. Okay. I don't know what other tools exist. The idea is that most people would think that we can plug in a JVMix or something related, but if you tell to a developer, I connect nice to JVMix, he will give you an ugly look. Yes, but what we found particularly interesting is a project called Metrix. It's from the same team that created the Drop Wizard using the Drop Wizard framework. It's a green code for making web apps. The idea of Metrix is that you can define some custom metrics whenever you like. For whatever part of your application, not necessarily JVM related, you can monitor queue sizes or something that's business related or something like that. You can have counters, meters, you can count throughput, you can have histograms counting the average time, and it's really easy to do it. It's not very obtrusive to your code. You can export this using a Java servlet. It returns some JSON message when you hit it, and it includes all the metrics. You can add, of course, JVM metrics like garbage collection times and memory availability and stuff like that. It comes out of the box with some exporters for this data, for graphite, for ganglia, and I don't remember what else. You can log them to a file, so you can have a log of how your application was behaving. But what we did and was really interesting is that we used the JMX exporters to export the metrics to New Relic.
I don't know, it seems everywhere I go on Google, I see an ad for New Relic now.
This is your dating data, so that's why.
It
It's really nice because you export the your metrics and you can create dynamically a dashboard with whatever is important for you or your team, or if you want to do different views depending on who's viewing the status, or if it's business logic, or if it's JVM status, or etc. You can do different, let's say, dashboards. And
really, it has become very big in cloud. In cloud computing, most cloud providers now support New Relic metrics. This is just a few clicks. Mm-hmm. If you want to put them on your own project, on your own web app, actually you have to put, you have to inject your application server. You have to put
it's about
not on the application. I guess that the monitoring the metrics that you referred was a Java file in the application.
But the idea is that this could play well together because you use the one for exporting the metrics and the other for importing to your dashboard, for sending the data to your dashboard.
What's the name of this?
Okay, it was metrics for
metrics,
you know, and the other one is New Relic.
New Relic. Yes, we are using FACTI for visualizing information about different methods.
You can define a configuration on which rules you want, which parts which bugs from JMX you want to use. And then it automatically sends them to New Relic to their site, and then it just creates the dashboard. You do it once.
I think that it's a big problem that JMX has security issues, and it's problem if you want to use in production.
Okay, yes, but
lately the biggest issues in Java, I think that was the biggest security issues was with the JMX.
Yes, but you don't have to make it public.
Another good.
What's the name of the one you said, Andrew? The name you said you use.
Hacking.
Another nice tool we have used lately is Java Melody. That you also use it as a Java application, and you can export to a server, and it provides some graphs. It's actually more JVM, it's not per application as a thing. But it has it's easy to install it and use it.
There's a lot of ways to export data about the JVM and the rest of the stuff, but most often the problem is that if the target audience is not so technical, it's not easy to read a JSON file or something like that, they need a user interface. That's why I really like New Relic, because you can visualize very easily the numbers. Or you can have a dashboard, a screen somewhere in the office, and have a quick look and understand what's going on.
New Relic is great. Even at its free version, it's very good.
But my point is that visualization is always important in monitoring. So, which things do you pay attention mostly?
You mean for monitoring?
Yes.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't do it. There's a system development on our team that does that, and we don't have much of it.
So, you said you were using Magic for
So our systems algorithms have that up and it's.
Would it take more response time as well?
Yes, because for us, in some cases we have customers, like we have a data center in Germany, and customers might be in Latin America or might be in Africa. So response times, in terms of, you know, for the client, for the customer, it's entirely different. So yes, we did have to look at that, and the solution was to go to a different server, different data center, especially for Africa. I don't know if anyone has any experience there. Internet connections, please.
Yes, it was mostly bandwidth problems on the line.
Yes,
so
yeah,
not
mitigation
specific.
No, not so much. Not so much. We did have some problems in some cases, but it was just badly written code or pages taking a long time to load. We've got the database queries and everything that's going on behind them. We improved it, optimized it.
What we did then, we find it useful while dividing, or we can then turn on production if we like to an interface system. If you separate the business logic, you can start a counter to count your the average response time of the method you are calling, or the business logic item that you want to involve. So we store the start time on the thread local, so it's going to the same thread, and when it finishes we check the difference. So if there's if the difference is bigger than the threshold, we start logging some methods to see that this was possibly a problem. And you can extend this if you use a star, so that during the process you can measure different steps. So for example, say, okay, I'm here, so start coming here with this label and stop this label later. You have to be careful because it's like pushing and popping for the start, but you can do it for measuring individual times. And it's pretty fast, it does not interfere very much with your code.
But do you have such a lot of things that you need to measure? I mean, when I'm thinking about usual web application I'm doing, it's like 80, maybe 90% of the pages are cached. They are just generated once and never, or at least on that day, never again, because they kind of remain static. I mean, of course you have dynamic pages once you use the interaction and everything, but most of them are product pages, CMS pages, kind of static content.
Yes, we don't do it for SAP content, we do it for APIs and mostly the RESTful APIs we are building. Because our team is building Duo, we have some front end that are working with JavaScript and HTML, and the rest of the team is back end, and we are working heavily on RESTful APIs.
Mm-hmm.
My team is mostly involved in data mining and machine learning projects, so we do a lot of back end development there. We don't go from the front end, some more is using other sites. It's important because we want to measure a lot of things, because it's like measuring the effectiveness of the algorithms when we implement. So it's always testing the models you create. And, that's why we need additional monitoring, not only JVM. We want to test a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Are these all on Tomcat?
Yes, most of them are on Tomcat. We use one web app per Tomcat. So were any multiple instances of Tomcat on the same machine? We just have a base installation and we copy the files during deployment.
Mm-hmm.
It's all automated. And we start off the monitor and other stuff.
Have any experience with Jackie? Because you said you removed whatever you can from Tomcat.
Yes,
I always have the feeling Jackie is much more lightweight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's more lightweight, but we try to use Tomcat for now. We haven't tested it yet on Jackie. We're thinking of moving towards DropWizard because we have you can embed the DropWizard for those who don't know it. It's mostly blue and gold for electric and stuff. You can embed the like for your application, and it's what you need, nothing more. You have to make sure that you get what you need. We were thinking of testing version. It's fast, but we don't have a chance.
As for the performance logging that you talked about, I have some experience with the Perl4j, which is an extension for Log4j, which we managed to intercept every service so that it logs the start time of a method in the log time and the end time of the method.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, using the AspectJ, we managed to easily intercept every layer of the project and every method, mm-hmm. and in some places to do manual things for this method. And this worked very nice because we could log for every layer of the project, like the DAOs, the adapters, the self, the business logic, the transformations. We could log it into a different log file and then log it in Excel and make reports. And this was really, really helpful, especially for queries, for web service calls. And sometimes for business logic, where we have some complex logic that for some conditions it takes much longer. And we have this very well organized in different blocks and ready for reporting to managers.
Did you introduce any additional load on the application? Did it make it lower or fake like it was?
Log4j by itself broke performance. And it's a very bad idea to use Log4j as performance tool. Because we have experience on my previous project plan, we calculate how much time are you one block without logic, without any logic, and without Log4j logic, and we have near 1 minute additional time with logic.
Okay, maybe Log4j might not be the best option for this, but in the way that it was implemented, you can easily switch logging libraries and but we haven't thought of such problems because maybe it's not a really performance intensive application, so we care mostly for queries that take a minute or two. And then we'll break the holes.
Do you have some tools that pass the logs and generate the reports?
Yeah, as far as I know, there is a tool that parses the output of performance logging. I don't think it does something special, it's just the limiter thing that creates a CSV and you can load it on Excel and do whatever you want after that. But you have the duration of each call, and that's the actual data that you process and make reports, and this was very helpful.
I think that if you use AspectJ for logging, it will not affect performance much because you can just filter what can be for what do you need this logging.
Yeah.
The spot is just integrated. integrated into Europe, or is that subject, but only in this point that you specified and not everywhere?
This is the problem with the Vue.j library itself, because there exists very good page on the Zone site where even a woman described how one Vue.j helped this logic. Each time when you log something, Vue.j insert try catch block and in try throw exception and in catch logging your message or your event you want. And each catch is stopping your main program, main thread, and handling this exception. Not creating exception, but also exception. It's a bad idea to do using Vue.j this way.
This there are many logging frameworks,
better ones, maybe.
Can you use a very performant?
Sometimes.
One
performance.
Have you used any logging framework with very performance?
Yeah, I can propose you use SLFG. SLFG, and also you can use such wrapper as Logback, which can work with a lot of logging frameworks, also with Log4j, SLF4j, and many others, common logging, and so on.
Actually, for there is lacking abstraction from the rest of
Logback
with
Logback is implementing the Log4j API.
As one Thompson was saying previously in the previous session on Zen, there's no logging framework right now that's not very slow.
Yes.
And what he was saying was that you can see that in logging framework says we're faster than the next logging framework, but it's like comparing snails to how fast they move, and one snail is saying, I'm faster than the other snail. But generally, everyone is very slow right now, as it is.
As a compromise, you can use GMS and only put some message to everyone and don't mind why this message will be recorded.
I want to add something. Actually, I didn't want to add, I wanted to just hear some of it for you. I was looking about the solution of testing the application from the front end and with integration with the back end. And I was trying to find the best framework or way to do it, this integration testing, including the front end and the back end. And I just ended up using Selenium as the best way to do that. Although I didn't think Selenium is the best way as a way. But it was the only way I could find to just test the web application from the front end to the back end. But so I just wanted to know if there's any other opinion or any other way to test the web application.
You also use Selenium.
And you need a tester just for the front end.
If you use very browser-specific things on your site, very hard JavaScript sections. That signing is good, but if your page mostly is static, some HTML which thrown by maybe I don't know you, which your framework using for front end, that's I propose to switch to HTML unit which is more faster and more clean.
Is it easier for when you want to create a new test with Selenium?
Yes. It's easy because HTML unit, I use JUnit in building.
So you actually code it?
Yes.
You write code. Because with Selenium, one of the things that you can do is you can have something that records a bug. You can have them install an extension on their browser, and they can record the steps that reproduce the bug. So it doesn't have to be a technical person that writes a test.
there's a browser extension on Firefox.
But how you calculate maybe coverage? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's
a more general problem for testing anyway. It's even if you. If you run a test with different parameters, it's the code might run, but under different circumstances.
For example, we can write a test using a HTML unit plus a few units for JavaScript testing, and we can set our JavaScript functions with different sets of data, and we almost know that our front-end functions working as we expect, not without some extra features and extra bugs. In some manuals it's not possible because you should create as much scenarios as possible for each set of these scenarios.
Yeah, I think the problem in testing comes from how you generated all the rates of data. One main problem is probably this one, that how you generate the data that you will give as input and how you will test the output. You will assert how you use the unit. And sometimes it's very complex to construct the input. And in the UI it comes easier because you have already implemented it. So you don't have to implement it twice for the test and the
actual. Yes, especially in web applications where you have user-generated content and dynamic content, you can't creating the different data sets is a big thing. And I don't think, Selenium that we use doesn't have good solution to as a framework to address the issue. I don't know if maybe Arquidian or something else does.
But if you separate it in two different parts, let's say the front end and the back end, and you design some RESTful APIs and then just both the APIs and see everything's okay back in the DB, and it's you're testing two different worlds then.
It's a layer, it might be
different layers. Because if you create a RESTful API, you use a framework, and the framework provides some testing tools. Mostly I think Spring and let's say most of those things provide some, and you can test them. You can test the backend, but everything works okay, and then write some unit tests. And I don't know about JavaScript, but I don't like JavaScript. So
I show you something there because you can even in some way narrow the possibility of error, because we know that some part is already tested, so the error might reside just in one of the layers. It might be a good idea.
But and the problem is that if you want to test it, then you want to test cross layer. You want to test the whole thing from end to end.
Yeah, I got it. But once you are quite aware that one part is working properly, because all the tests are running, okay, there is no uncertainty of 100%.
Yes.
Once you know that some part is well tested and it works, the error should reside just in one side. So the effort will be really narrowed and easier. I think that what you said is quite. And even the problem that you can do actually both, you don't have to do once, and not neither. You can narrow in that way layering, so you test one part really well, and then you can use your Selenium to test everything. For example, testing the use case, so you go through the. But in that way, the life of the programmer will be easier because you are quite confident that some part are working. Plus, you are going to test the use case. And not in a really hard way, because you're already doing the testing for the single layers. So even the use case, the general one, would be easier to perform, because what he said is true, that to write the data, to do the testing, is not so easy work.
Yes.
you have to think about is stupid. So I think what you said is what smart.
One more hard thing for Selenium is when your UI part changes. For example, you use a radio button, but you think, okay, man, I have three more choices, and I switch to using drop down list. You should rewrite your Selenium test when you use, for example, email unit.
Yes, it's
not more.
It's a problem. It's a problem because, but I mean, you have that problem everywhere. If you think about it, and if you abstract a little, if you change your interface in code, I mean, because you're changing the user
interface,
you change
the list here before two elements. Now you list here five elements.
Exactly. The point I'm making is that if you change the interface in code in a class, you still need to update your tests. So it's you have to do the updating your tests when you change the interface. You have to do it anyway. It's just when we do it in UI, it's more difficult, especially if you build complex components. I'm not saying it's an easy task. Even with Selenium, it's you know, getting to open like a dynamic HTML component and click on something there and build the test use case for that. It's, you have to learn XPath. You have to learn how to use XPath to get to work on.
But different browsers.
Yeah.
Different implementations.
Okay, that's actually a good point. Does HTML unit also have. Selenium has the grid that you mentioned before. It allows you to run, actually run the test. So, say we have a Windows, a PC, Linux PC, Mac. You can have an actual browser running on each computer, and you have a grid and you can run the test simultaneously on all computers. So you can actually test it in the browser, run the test to test your web application on different browsers within different operating systems. Does HTML unit or Arcadian, do they have something similar?
No. As I know, HTML unit, when you run test, you can choose which browser emulate, it will be emulated. Mm-hmm. And you can use Firefox from version 15 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Internet Explorer, about Chrome, I don't know. And as I know, also such common browser implementation which support W3 implementation.
I have a question. Which kind of framework or layer or library are you using for the front-end construction?
Oh, it's, well, mostly JSP.
Okay.
The model application verification.
Yes, okay. Yes. So you're using, okay. No, because there are some other frameworks that you can avoid then this case of several browser. For example, there is a Badin or other one that you write in Java, your front end, and they translate in Java plus JS, so you don't have to worry about the version that.
Yes, if you use a common sets of JavaScript, yes.
Yeah.
But you can, you should run some specific functions.
I know, but the transaction is out. It was just to understand the difference.
Yeah, because it's one thing for the test to run on the development machine, and it's another to run on all the browsers and all the operating systems. It's cross-platform.
Anything else? Anyone
want
to add something? Any other tool that someone is using
more? Yeah, it's interesting to hear all the tools that everybody else is using. I don't know if anyone else has anything to share that they're using, works well to do the testing, logging, monitoring.
then perhaps it's worth mentioning how we address the memory leaks for the redeployments in Tomcat. Basically, what so there's in web applications in Tomcat, you get a different class loader for each instance about the redeploying, and basically all the classes that are used in your application are loaded in that. So the problem is when you're trying to undeploy an application, if there's any class that still maintains a reference to the class loader that stays behind. So for example, if you start the thread and when you try to undeploy you can stop the thread. Or if you use a thread local variable, so if you want the so let's say you have a thread local with a class that you use only in your web app. So the thread local is set to run the Tomcat for threads when you actually execute the code, and then you try to undeploy the web app. In that case, when you try to undeploy, the garbage collector cannot claim back, or the, well, they can't dereference the class because it's still set as a thread local in the threads. So you basically have this whole web app class loader that has all your classes in your application, and you can't reference it, you can't garbage collect it because the reference is still there. And so every time you deploy, you get this much and then this much and then this much and it grows and it grows. So you have a memory leak across redeployments. During runtime, you don't, because the application might run fine, but across the redeployments, you get you basically get a permgen.
But should it be there in the first place?
Exactly. The problem is that, okay, first, yeah, you're allowed to, so, which is another like big issue. So, like, should you be allowed to start threads? Should you be allowed to use the local? But yeah, you're allowed to. So people do it. I mean, we did it. We did the mistake. And then after you corrected your own code, you have to look at all the libraries that you use, which is a huge like. Sometimes that's well, it's definitely an even bigger problem because. And I think, for example, Log4j is a very bad logger to use in web apps, exactly because it doesn't work well with that. If you use the one of the functionalities has to do with monitoring the log file for changes, so you can, you know, when you change the log level, the web app picks it up automatically and changes the logging level. Well, that starts a thread, and in older versions of Log4j, I think they might have fixed it now, but in all the versions that created the problem that we couldn't do the redeployment. And but we have other frameworks. When it was in Apache Commons, there are so basically any library that uses thread locals might be a potential problem. And the good thing is that newer versions of the libraries, they, you know, it gets reported in open source community. As long as the project is maintained, they usually fix it. So the way we eventually fixed the problem was we fixed it in our own code, of course, but then we had to upgrade, also migrate to the newer versions of the libraries that we used, and make sure we got rid of all the thread protocols, make sure we cleaned up all the threads. But we didn't have any threads, but make sure there weren't any threads get started, and the last thing is also making sure that if okay, so this is right, if your web application uses a database connection, and you only include the JVC libraries in the Tomcat folder, in the Tomcat view, then it doesn't. Your web app class loader is going to load the classes from the
Tonka plus the other. No, it's the other way around. You include the JDBC libraries in your own application. The Tomcat tries to open the connections to the data source, so it gets the classes from the web app class loader. So if any other app tries to use the same classes, it's still going to need a reference to the same class object in the web app class loader that we had. So when you try to undeploy the app, you will undeploy it, but the references are still there, so you can't publish what I told about. So any common libraries that you use between different applications that need to be in the Tomcat link folder. You only have them there.
But that's the reason to use a separate instance for Tomcat instance for its web application.
Yes, or manage your libraries. Yes,
but I don't think it's an overhead to have one Tomcat for its web application.
Well, you have you do have a bit of a bigger memory footprint in total. I mean, it depends how many apps you're talking about.
Okay, but is it so big? Because if you run the cloud, you can have smaller. You can find the instance type that suits your need and have lots of them. But maybe not the same as you just run it. Because I don't think that it's such an overhead.
I don't think that it can have done it with two Tomcats, but I don't think that it is to put just five or six Tomcats working all together.
You have about 40. We have 40 web apps running a single Tomcat.
Yes.
So the
memory management.
If something goes wrong with one web application, it's going to affect the rest of them. Is it going?
Yes. So we have to. Well, we're making sure that nothing.
For example, on our dev server, we run about 10 different instances of Tomcat for its project. So that does not affect its standard. I don't remember how it's called. It's an Amazon instance with a 7 GB RAM.
It's definitely worth sort of comparing statistics and looking at numbers to see, because you know, obviously it would help us a lot.
This way you can focus on the specific application and its needs and. Define some flags that are specific for only this application. It depends on what you want to do. For example, it's not a very common use case, but we have a service for suggesting similar skills for someone who's looking for a job. So we want it to be very fast. We load this in memory directly when Tomcat starts, and then we, whenever someone asks, it's a suggestion call. It was easier to have it separately because we just give as much memory as it wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need very much.
Yeah.
It was about storing memory. I think it was 200,000 strings, so we didn't need more than 500 megabytes, so we optimized it for this one, and we don't use memory that we don't need. Because when you say 40 web apps in a single Tomcat, I think that
you're using 6 gig heap and about 2.5 gig
pager. Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of money.
Yes. And I think it might be difficult to monitor this because do you use something to find which threads run from each application and.
It makes the thread dump a bit more of a challenge, and you have to go through that.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, if it'd be interesting to look at numbers to see, like, you know, total memory footprint, and see as you scale, as the number of apps grows, if it scales better. Because obviously, I totally agree. You have a lot more freedom. It's, and I'd love to have it. I just don't know if we can.
You can have a load balance and next in front of the router. Streets between them, it's not so difficult.
I think it's turning past. I don't know if anybody else wants to add anything.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.